Sandwich Radio. We are chatting about the Love Cambridge Arts Festival, which is taking place next week. We've got Abby here, who's kind of organised the whole thing. And we are talking in depth now about one of the sort of highlights of the festival, which really jumped out to me. It's the Arts Walking Tour. Now, it was back by popular demand. You launched this one last year. Lots of people signed up. They really, really enjoyed it. And actually, it's a fantastic idea because when you look around Cambridge, there's quite a bit of public art just out there to be walked by. And so you've got this all set up and guided by a member of the Society of Cambridge Tourist Guides. And that's you, Sheila.
That is me.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming along. And so it's actually quite interesting. There's lots of public art out there in Cambridge. It really is. It says on the website, but it's true. There really is a mix of very quirky alongside the traditional artworks out there. So Sheila, without giving too much away, what can you tell us if we sign up for a walking tour about the arts in Cambridge? What happens?
Well, I think what's on offer is a rather splendid, I call it an amble, around the centre of the city, stopping at various points and looking at things that you may never have noticed before. There will be things like the Corpus clock that everybody's seen.
Yeah.
But there will be things where you go home and you say, I've never seen that before.
Interesting.
That's what we do. We have a sort of a route of up to 20 stops. So each one is a different site. Now, what we do on a particular day will depend on access, on weather and all sorts of those things. But that's the choice. That's the menu. And the guide will decide on the day exactly where the time is spent.
So 20 stops. You won't hit all 20 of them in the tour. How many are we talking?
Well, probably at least 15.
Oh, yes. Okay. Now, which are the ones that you absolutely cannot miss out? Corpus clock, I imagine.
Corpus clock. It's a pity to miss it out. Although everybody's seen it, there's a really interesting tale behind it.
Oh, can you share the tale with us? Can you share it a little bit with us?
Well, the tale really is the passion of a rich man for timepieces. It's as simple as that. It's an ex-student of Corpus Christi who made a lot of money and who had a passion for clocks. And when the city council told Corpus Christi that they could no longer have a door where the Corpus clock is, when it used to be the bank, there was a door there. And when the lease expired on the bank, the college wanted the building back to build a library. This ex-student paid for the library. And then the council said, you can't have a door there because it's dangerous. It's right on the corner. Mm. And John Taylor, the man concerned, said, I will build you a clock and I will pay for a clock. And that was how it came about.
You see? And so, I mean, I kind of want to know how expensive this clock is.
It was over £1 million.
Really?
Well, that was at the prices in 2008 when it was opened by Stephen Hawkins.
And it was opened by Stephen Hawkins. Hello, this is like just Cambridge history.
It's just Cambridge.
Dripping out in the first 2 minutes of our chat. It's amazing. I love it.
And John's passion for clocks came from looking at John Harrison, who worked on longitude and working out how you could plot your journey across an ocean by a special mechanism that didn't fuse up at sea when it got damp. It's called a grasshopper escapement. The chronophage on the top of the clock is the grasshopper, and it's a nod to Greek mythology. Sits on your shoulders, eating time. You don't take the most of it, it's gone.
Love that. That's fantastic. Okay, so that's the grasshopper. We could probably talk for another 10 minutes about the grasshopper and the rich gentleman who just insisted that he keeps the library and the door and the access and the clock and everything else. And so does that count as one of the quirky items of artwork on public display?
It's quite quirky because there's such an interesting story behind it. And there are people that helped in the building of that have done work elsewhere, like the guy that did the wings, also did something in the Zoological Museum, also did the geese at Girton outside the church there. So there's a tale to be told there. Some of the more quirky things are things that I guarantee people will walk over daily and will not have seen.
Like a little... Little something dinky?
No.
No, not even the dinky doors are not the quirky items.
I know what you're talking about. Walking
okay.
over. That's a hint, I think.
All right, should we prod and get some more info, or should we keep that as a little tantalising secret? Okay, so that's the quirky aspects of some of the public art out in Cambridge. Of course, you know, so much has been made of the Don up on Hills Road. He's gone now, hasn't he?
Well, I don't know, and he's outside our remit, fortunately.
Oh, is he? Okay, that's fine.
There is an interesting thing about public art and what it's supposed to do, and it's supposed to be inclusive for the community and the environment and make a bridge between people that look at it. That, can I say, please, ghastly statue of the Duke of Edinburgh, which has been the subject of much controversy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't guide around it.
No.
You're too good, Sheila, for that. Okay, fine. So let's move away from the quirky stuff. What's one of the pieces of art which you would say is really one of the traditional artworks?
Traditional. Well, I think the one that I like, and it is traditional, but it's unusual, it's quirky, is the slate wall on the Zoological Museum, which is absolutely beautiful. And the edges of the slate, it's slate upon slate, very ancient slate from Welsh roof quarry. It's black and it's cut so it catches the angles of the light. And whatever time of the day you go there, you will see a different sort of picture. But it's basically a tree, which is a black oak tree. It's not a black oak tree, it's a black... it's a tree. It's gone. Black tree, which is famous in mythology and was part of the botanical gardens. And until recently, there was one in the botanical gardens themselves. And it's just lovely.
Okay.
It's really nice.
Where's that? Have I seen that?
When you go into the Zoological Museum, if instead of going up the steps, you turn right at ground level and then you turn round to look at the museum, it's the whole of that wall there.
Okay.
Absolutely beautiful.
All right. And then I also noticed here that on the website, it says that some of the artworks range from mysterious tiny little doors, we know what that's about, but also some installations which are described as both hypnotically beautiful and deeply disturbing. Can you give us a little clue what you might be talking about there?
Sure.
I think those words were given to us by our organisers of the tour, Murray. I'm not quite sure what which ones he's referring to there.
Hypnotically beautiful. That sounds wonderful. I'd love to be described. I mean, we'd all be to be described that way. Yeah. Murray's a poet. Deeply disturbing. I'm wondering if I might have a little inkling.
I think the deeply disturbing one is one of the ones quite close to the Guildhall.
Oh, yes, that is the ghastly.
Yeah, another slightly questionable piece.
Do you know what I like about you, Sheila? You've got opinions. You're a tour guide with opinions. I love this.
most of those comments have come from art critics and the public. Yeah. We're talking about Talos, the bronze statue outside the Guildhall.
The bronze statue out... Oh, now, hang
god
on.
God Talos, who was a bronze god, much loved by the gods and protected Crete by throwing boulders at any invaders. It's a very sophisticated piece of work by a man called Michael Ayrton. Now, he's much appreciated by other sculptors, people like Barbara Hepworth, and that thought he was wonderful. Mm. It's very ugly, it's very stark, and I think it is in the worst possible position for such a statue, because it's a really interesting piece of work. And the more you look at it, then you try and work out why?
Yeah.
What does it represent? But it's famous for being Cambridge's least loved statue.
Oh.
It was actually gifted anonymously to the City Council.
Anonymously? Mm. An ugly piece of sculpture.
So you might wonder
sculpture.
If someone gave it to you as a present, what you would do.
Yeah. Brilliant.
All due respect to the man. He was a fabulous man and a polymath, and, but actually... Is it the right place for that statue?
No. It's not in a good place.
Well, I have to say, in the few moments that we've been chatting, which have flown by, it always happens, you really, really have given us a very tasty little flavour of what to expect if you sign up to the Love Cambridge Arts Walking Tour. Abby, give us a little bit of the facts now. How do we get signed up to this? Where do we meet? How long does it go on for? Where do we get our tickets, etc.?
Yep, absolutely. So you can find the tickets again at the Love Cambridge Arts Festival, which will take you to an Eventbrite where you can book the tickets. So we have walking tours going on the 12th, the 13th, the 15th, two on the 15th actually, the 16th and the 18th of February. Mm-hmm. So there are six different tour dates over five different days running over the 10 days of the festival. They're an hour and 15 minutes, so really manageable, and yes, they are all accessible. It's friendly for wheelchair users as well, excellent, which is really important to us. What was the other question you asked me?
The other question that I asked you was, so where do we meet?
We meet at the front of the Guild Hall.
Lovely. Yeah.
So we mentioned our wonderful ambassadors earlier. So you can come to our... We've got a little van which says Visit Cambridge. I'm sure I'll give them some signs to hold up as well. and you'll see our tour guides very excited to go off. And we'll meet you there.
Fantastic.
And then you'll be on your way.
Excellent. That sounds fantastic. I'm going to have to sign myself up to one of these, actually. thank you both so much for coming along. In fact, something else happens, like, just to sell this even more, Old Disham, they have a lovely little offer that we must mention.
Yes, we absolutely do. So Disham are now residing in the Permit Room. They're an amazing restaurant, like, everyone please do go. but we're really, really lucky to be teaming up with them throughout the whole Arts Festival, actually. So if you are lucky enough to manage to get your hands on a walking tour ticket, we will give you a free voucher for breakfast, which can be used on another day, another opportunity to come into the city. And actually, for all of the workshops and events at the Arts Festival, you will get given a voucher for a free chai drink. So it's certainly worth coming along, and you have something to come back into the city for another time.
Delicious. Thank
Delicious.
You.
Delicious.
Thank you both. Sheila.
The tree was a black walnut. It's come to me.
Aha, the black walnut. Okay, we'll remember that on our tour next week. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
I could talk to you for an hour easily about all of the artwork in Cambridge. Abby, thank you so much to you and to everyone at Cambridge BID who put on these fantastic events for the city. Thank you very much.